The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 481. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. My guest for this episode is making his sixth appearance on the show. I'm talking about Mr. Stephen Hines, the man behind The Soccer Mom Killer, Snails with Lasers, a couple different music projects, plenty of other comics. I'll tell you right now that you really need to do yourself a favor if you've never heard Steven before on this show. Go back in the archives. I've listed him in the show notes as the individual episodes that he has appeared on. And check him out because, as I say in the conversation, we can't really go over every single thing Steven has done, and he's got a catalog full of wild, wonderful, and weird tales that I think that you will enjoy. So for now, we're going to focus on his current projects, which the first one is taking the individual issues of The Soccer Mom Killer and putting it into a graphic novel. And we're going to talk about the process for that. And actually, Steven's going to reveal a little bit about how difficult publishing now has become because of our economy. We also are going to talk about the award-winning Snails with Lasers, an amazing story about alien snails that come to Earth. It's an interesting tale. It's a unique tale, especially if you like weird science fiction. I think it'd be right up your alley. So Steven and I are going to talk about that and so much more. So before we get into that conversation, though, I need to thank a great sponsor of this podcast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. You hear me talk about how great the store is, and that's the double truth, Ruth. They've got everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, toys, posters, comic book supplies. I mean, they got you covered for your comic book fandom. So, you need to check out the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you could check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And again, want to thank all the fine folks down there at World's Greatest for being a great sponsor of the PVD Cast throughout the years. I truly appreciate it. With that being said, then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Stephen Hines. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, I'm sitting down with a gentleman who is making his sixth appearance here on the PVD Cast. Mr. Stephen Hines, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, wild man?
Doing well. Yeah, did it shock you? It's sixth appearance?
Yeah, I'm like, wow, man, this guy's a glutton for punishment.
Well, you know what? I want to throw it out there to everybody that's listening to this episode. We may or may not get to every single project that Steven has done because he's got a truckload of them. So I'm going to say if you want to get full details, go back in the archives, episodes 294 through 135. I'm gonna list them all in the show notes so that you can go back and listen if we don't get to cover some of those topics. So yeah, definitely go back in the archives and check it out. But we're here to talk about The Soccer Mom Killer, and it's a graphic novel reincarnation, so to speak. Is that a good way to describe it?
That is a great way to describe it. Yes, it has been reborn.
Well, let's talk a little bit about it for maybe those folks that are unfamiliar. Can you give a quick summary of the tale?
Sure. It's about a serial killer in a fictional suburb of Columbus, Ohio, who preys upon minivan-driving soccer moms. So as a teenager said to me at a convention a few years ago, so there's only one name on this guy's hit list, and it's Karen. After I finished dying laughing, I said, may I please use that in my marketing? And being the gracious 16 to 17-year-old that she was, she said, yeah, you may use that.
But the motivation for writing this tale came from real life, a real life incident. Do you feel comfortable sharing that?
Sure, sure. The bitterness has passed at this point. Yeah, I used to ride a bike quite a bit for exercise until my doctor said no more, because I have degenerating discs in my lower back, and I also get prostate infections constantly thanks to the amazing DNA that I inherited. And but anyway, I was riding my bike. I used to ride my bike at this park in our town, and there is a bike path going around all these soccer fields and baseball fields, soccer or softball, whichever. And I'm flying around doing my exercise. I have my earbuds in, and I have some tunes cranking really loud, and I'm just enjoying the day. And there's a soccer game going on, and this soccer mom just stands up and she folds up her folding chair, and I didn't think anything of it as I approached, because it happens all the time. But she just looked right at me and walked right in front of me while I was going full bore on my bicycle on this path. And I had to slam on my brakes and swerve so I didn't collide with this lady and injure us both on this, not really concrete, I guess you'd call it tarmac, as they call it in England. And just barely missed colliding with this lady and getting seriously injured. And I may or may not have called her something that rhymes with the word witch. And it had no effect on her whatsoever. She glared at me as if it were all my problem. And so as I was pedaling home that day, I was, of course, kind of pissed off. Sorry if I'm not allowed to cuss on your show.
No, dude, no, we can cuss all we want. Who cares?
Well, fuck yeah. Anyway. Anyway, so I was pedaling home cussing to myself and thinking, you know, man, there should be a natural predator for these entitled soccer moms. And the idea popped into my head, what if there was a serial killer who only preyed upon these people? And so really, and as I say in the foreword to the graphic novel, it's really not an examination of the psychology of a serial killer, but more of a satire on people having an entitled mindset, or main character syndrome, as the kids call it these days.
You sat down and started creating the tale. And I know that you worked really, really hard on finding just the right artist to bring your idea to life. So can you talk a little bit about the process of finding that specific artist and why you selected her over others?
Sure. I think Nayla, the artist, Nayla Bohenska, was actually the fifth or the sixth artist attached to the project. I had several artists who got started on the project and contributed several pages and then just kind of ghosted me and bailed on it for one reason or another. And then so finally I just couldn't give up on the idea, because I felt like the story was just too strong to give up on it. And so I placed an ad on a website that unfortunately no longer exists, digitalwebbing.com. And it's a classified ad where you give a preview of the story and you try to get artists interested. And then I paid a few, I think it was two different artists, to create sample pages for me to see how their art style meshed with the tone of the story, because it's very dark, obviously. And the first artist that submitted a page, his art is in the graphic novel as a piece of bonus art, by the way. His page was fantastic, and I was about ready to send him a contract. And then another artist contacted me, and it was Nayla from Poland. And she said, have you picked an artist yet? And I said, well, I was about ready to sign a contract with the guy, but, you know, here's a page of my script. What can you do with it? And a couple days later, I got a page of her art, and I literally opened it on my phone at work during my lunch break and jerked back from my phone because I was just so gut punched by the power of her art. And just to be totally sure, because my wife is a professional artist as well, I brought, you know, when I got home from work, I showed it to my wife to see how she would react. And it takes a lot to impress my wife with art. And she jerked back from my phone and went, "Oh my God." And I said, "Yeah, this is the lady for the project." And the rest, as they say, is history.
And for those folks that haven't checked it out, it's got a really, I really feel, and this is just my humble opinion, that the black and white color scheme works so well for the tale that I don't know if you actually had colored it that it would have the same impact. That's just my humble opinion.
Oh, I 100% agree. I would hate for it to be color because it makes it look very noir. You know, that's a very rich film tradition where that you see sometimes in comics, but maybe not often enough. And I think it would take away from the power of her art to make it in color. But I don't know if you've seen the cover art for the graphic novel, but oh my God, did she hit a home run with that? It was like that wasn't a home run. That was a grand slam is what that artwork was. But when it came time to come up with an idea for the cover art for the graphic novel, I was kind of clueless about what I wanted. And then right at that time, David Lynch passed away. And David Lynch is one of my creative idols, you know, absolutely my favorite movie director and TV director of all time. And so I sent Nayla a message, and I sent her the movie poster for David Lynch's movie Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. It has the curtains from the show Twin Peaks and a locket from the TV show and the movie. I said, "Can you take this and run with it and make it fit, you know, Soccer Mom Killer?" And oh my God, did she hit the ball out of the park? It's just gorgeous.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the graphic novel. Why was it important to you to have this collection of the tale? Because you have the individual issues. And I always ask this when I have a creator who's taking all of those issues and combining them into one. And I assume you're probably going to give the same answer, but why was it important for you to have this collection for fans?
Part of it was very practical because I had sold out of all the single issues except for, I think, three. And I learned the hard way in the past that if you collect a series into a graphic novel when you still have single issues left, no one will buy the rest of your single issues, and you're left lugging around, you know, all those copies of the individual comics. But more importantly, is a lot of people don't. Some people don't want to. They're not in the into comics for collecting them. They're in it for the story, and they want all of the story at once. You know, just like a lot of people wait till an entire series drops before they'll binge it. And I've gotten that way. I used to collect comics for the sake of collecting them and hoping they would go up in value and all that kind of stuff. But now I just want the story, and I want it all in one chunk. And those are the two main reasons.
So you've had a Kickstarter that just ended a few days ago. And that is for help in producing the graphic novel, correct?
Right. That's to pay Nayla for the cover art and to pay for the printing costs, which have, oh my God, printing costs were high. the cost to get this graphic novel printed after all the tariff wars going on, since we get a lot of our paper from Canada, it's going to cost me almost $18 a graphic novel just to get this baby printed.
Wow. Folks, if you don't know, that is an extraordinarily high price. I'm speechless. I can't. $18 of a graphic novel. Wow, that is this is no joke. This is not me playing around. Like, that's ungodly.
Yeah. Now, if I were a bigger publisher and I could order in larger quantities, that would bring my cost down somewhat. But I'm still going to have to charge, and I hate to charge this much, $30 for a book just to, you know, stay afloat. You know, I'm not making any money. I'm still losing money as an author and a publisher because, you know, if you're an independent comic book creator, that's just the reality of the situation for about 98% of us.
Yeah.
But when I put that, when I uploaded my files to the printer and put in all my information about how I wanted the book to be manufactured, and I saw that was going to be my cost, I had a little mini stroke.
Well, let's talk about the fact that there are some folks out there that maybe missed the Kickstarter. So can they still get their hands on the book? And if so, how?
Not yet. As soon as the Kickstarter money gets deposited from Kickstarter.com into my bank account, I'm going to order the books and get them shipped out to all my backers first, of course, since they jumped on first. And then it will be available through my Etsy store. And I'm debating about whether or not to make it available through Amazon because, number one, Bezos is a douchebag, and number two, their printing quality for graphic novels through Amazon's Kindle Print on Demand is garbage compared to my printer. I use a Greco out of Michigan. Sorry for using that word. If you're an Ohio State fan like me, it feels dirty coming out of my mouth. But I might have it available through them or not. I might just do Kindle through them so I don't have to feel guilty about people getting an inferior paperback version.
If folks want to keep tabs on when this process, because it's going to be a while, where can they keep tabs on the process in terms of social media and all that jazz?
On Instagram, I'm on there at Stephen Hines, StephenHines, 67. 67 is not my age. It's also not my IQ, but it is a reference to a song by one of my favorite bands, King's X. I just randomly picked it when I needed an email because Stephen Hines by itself was taken. And I was like, oh, that's a great song. Let's just put that in there.
You know what? I got to compliment you on the merch that you have available through the Kickstarter. I mean, you have t-shirts, you have pins, you have socks. I mean, so like two questions
Nobody bought any of the extras this time. Except
really? Well, that's a goddamn shame.
That's another testament to what's going on with the current presidential administration is people are terrified to spend money. And I've noticed it at all my author appearances since January, as well as people are only spending money on necessities for the most part. And usually people go crazy over all the add-ons that I offer, like the t-shirts and the stickers and the enamel pins. Everybody just pledged for the book and the book only, except for one person who got one of my other books as an add-on item. Because they're just scared to spend money because they don't. Everything's going up and down, up and down, up and down.
Well, again, that's a shame because socks. I enjoyed that. That made me chuckle. I was like, you know what? I don't think I've ever seen socks before as an add-on for Kickstarter. So, well, let me ask my second question about merch. If you could have, like, if you had no absolute hurdles, whether it's cash or design or anything along those lines, if you had one piece of dream merch that you would love to offer the folks, what would it be?
Oh, God, that's a good question. probably for Snails with Lasers, the artist is working on issue 2. I know we haven't talked about what that story's about yet, but one of my students last year, I'm a high school English teacher, and came up with the idea of a laser, a snail toy for cats. With the built-in instead of just a laser pointer for cats, but make it a snail with the laser pointer on its head and have the snail like being like a little robot that goes around on your floor and entertains your cat.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's awesome. That wins hands down. You know what, but
you have a cat, don't you?
I do.
Tell me your cat would not love that.
I think she would. I think she definitely would. It would be something that would entertain her at least for 15 minutes, because you know how cats are. They're entertained by a few things and then it's off to the next thing.
Yeah, their attention spans are still slightly longer than my students, though.
Yeah, well, well, you know what? Let's talk about Snails with Lasers, because it was a project that you started, about a year ago?
Probably maybe a year and a half ago, pretty much.
Well, let's hear about it. What is the summary of this story?
Snails with Lasers is about there's an alien species who look a lot like our Earth snails who have been monitoring our satellite transmissions on Earth. And they're very alarmed by what they're seeing on our TV station. So they decide to pull into orbit to check it out, see if we're as bad as they think we are. And then once they get closer, they decide that we were worse than they thought. So they use their technology to supercharge some snails, three Earth snails and three water snails, and put lasers on them and turn them loose to wipe out the willfully ignorant of our species so we can evolve faster.
Now, you say the willfully ignorant. So those folks that are not in that category, do the snails still attack them?
No, they do not. No,
okay.
No, they leave them all. But as the series goes on, they start having some moral quandaries about what they're doing because they start to realize that it's a pretty huge percentage of our population that they are wiping out, and they start to question their mission that they've been given.
Well, in this book, recently just won an award. And for those folks that don't know, Space, a small press and alternative comics expo, happened at the end of April, correct? Or the end of May? No, the end of April. The end of April. And it won an award. So tell us a little bit about how you felt about winning an award, the Space Award, for this project.
Oh, I was blown away. I mean, every year at Space, they had you can enter in different categories like mini comic and graphic novel and single issue comic, you know, which is just the general category. So I always put something in, and I've only made it to the judging round for that prize twice. Once was for the Zombie Fabulous graphic novel, and now for the first issue of Snails with Lasers. So both times I was incredibly honored to even be nominated and to make it to the judging process. So I was blown away when I won third place in the general category with Aaron and I won. We both got plaques, and he deserves it more than I do because he made me look way smarter than I really am with the art.
Yeah, Aaron Lindemann is a magician when it comes to art.
Oh my God, I don't know if you've seen his art for Snails with Lasers, but he even acknowledged it, and he's the most humble guy I've ever met. And he's like, you know, I really feel like I turned a corner artistically with this book. And I'm like, dude, you didn't turn one corner, you turned three corners. And yeah. his art before was ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. From, you know, what I watched or what I saw online with his artwork is just, it matches perfectly, much like the Soccer Mom Killer. It matches perfectly. I don't think any other artist could have done justice to the tale that Aaron has done. So a quick shout out to Aaron, by the way, friend of the show.
Yeah. Aaron Lindemann, you are a beast.
So let's talk about your love of music, because you mentioned, you know, King's X. And for those of you that have listened to Steven's other appearances here on the show, you know that music's a big part of your life. You talked about you just put out an album of instrumentals. Tell us a little bit about why did you put this out? What was the overall goal for the project, et cetera, et cetera?
I've had these songs done for a pretty decent amount of time, honestly, and they're just these really weird instrumentals that with very, very experimental music that I thought my writing process was kind of all over the place. But then I used samples in them from movies and from author interviews and movie director interviews, and just used samples for the vocals. And the styles, the genres of the album are just all over the place. And I didn't know if anybody would understand it or get it or like it or just be annoyed by it or what, but I just felt like I stumbled upon the files. I've had them sitting around on my laptop forever. And I was like, well, let me listen to these and see if I still like them or not. And I started listening to them, like, oh my God, this is way better than I thought it was. And there's still some parts in songs that I wish I would have done a little bit differently, of course, but I don't know any musician who can listen to their recorded music and not sit and nitpick it apart. But so I had all the songs mastered. Mastering just makes them sound all like cohesive and sound better to listen on any device that you choose to listen to them on, improves the quality and everything. And then I started promoting it and created the cover art myself, using kind of a cross between digital and collage artwork style, and then put it out on Bandcamp and just to see where it went. And some of my musician friends who were the pickiest music people I know have said that they loved it. And that is all the praise I could ever hope for. But I also have been selling it on physical CDs at conventions, even though some people look at me like, okay, caveman, you're still hauling around that archaic media with you.
You know what, though? It's really interesting how our technology has evolved, because you're right. Like, to buy a CD now is like a really challenging thing, because not a lot of bands are putting them out. They're going straight to streaming. And I'm going to sound like an old man. I don't really dig streaming for music. For podcasts, totally different genre, different scenario. I can get with that for streaming. But to me, it's like you're not only just collecting the music, but you're collecting a physical item that you can show. You know, I think that's the same way with DVD and Blu-ray. Like, hey, I got this DVD. I like this movie so much, I bought it on Blu-ray. You know, so I think there's some of that there. So, but let's talk about another musical project. One called Did You Fix It, Donnie? So,
I didn't even know that was on your radar.
You know me. I do thorough research, sir.
I feel like I'm on Hot Ones. We should be eating wings.
Well, hey, if Hot Ones wants to hire me to replace, you know, a host, I'll be more than happy to. But anyways, so let's talk a little bit about this project, Did You Fix It, Donnie? Because it actually has a, what's the word I'm looking for? A positive that comes out of this EP, so to speak. I guess that's the best way to describe it, because it is a benefit with proceeds going to a great organization. I'll let you take over and discuss the creation of this EP.
Okay, yeah. Back in 2016, when Mango Mussolini was elected the first time, I wrote and recorded a song called Are We Winning Yet, Donnie? And mocking Trump. And one of my former students, who's from a family of immigrants, jumped at the chance to do the lead vocals on it, and she totally killed it. And we thought we were done and dusted with that topic. And then lo and behold, here we are in Trump 2.0, and it's 10 times more terrifying than it was the first time around. So I messaged her and said, hey, if I rewrite the lyrics and make this about his second term, are you down to redo the vocals? And she said, fuck yeah, I'm in. And I rewrote the lyrics, and then she had to rewrite my lyrics to make it physically possible for a vocalist to sing. and then we recorded it and added some gang vocals at the end during the guitar solo. I recruited some people who recorded their gang vocals with their cell phones and sent them to me. And then I worked them into the song, and we promoted it and released it. And every single penny of the sales from it have gone to the ACLU to help battle these constitutional battles in our court system.
There you go. So that's available on your Etsy store for both those projects, correct?
The song, the Trump song and the instrumental are only available on Bandcamp.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you can find Did You Fix It Yet, Donnie on Spotify and YouTube and Apple Music. My artist name, my band name is just S**HINES, Shines, just an abbreviation of my pen name.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Steven for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, comic book supplies. They got you covered for your fandom. So stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics. Well, let's talk about another writing project, if you will, because you are not only just a comic book writer, but you're also a regular author, a prose writer, if you will. You have a book that I don't know when it came out, to be honest with you. I know that we haven't talked about it, but it's called An Exile's Epistle. So would you like to tell the folks that are listening a little bit about this project?
Sure. An Exile's Epistle is a collection of short stories and kind of along the same lines as Instrumental. I had these short stories sitting around on my hard drive. And one of them appeared in an anthology of dystopian short stories, and that's the title story, An Exile's Epistle. And I've been proud of these stories for a long time. And one of them was also published in Ashland University's student anthology, I should mention, because I finished my bachelor's degree at Ashland University. And I wanted to put them out. And then when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, I was pretty pissed off, like a lot of people, because to me, the separation of church and state is all but disappearing. And that's what An Exile's Epistle is, a satire of the whole philosophy of telling teenagers, hey, you know, don't have sex, abstinence only is going to solve all your problems. When we're, let's face it, we're especially when we're teenagers, we are horny mammals, and our two priorities are to survive and to procreate. So that's not reasonable. So, but anyway, so I decided to put this out as a short story collection, and published it, and I've been donating quietly donating a portion of the proceeds to Planned Parenthood every time I sell a book.
And this is not your first book, because you've also wrote a book called Rebirth Defect, which chronicles your journey through various different religions. Do you have a third book in mind, or you're right now just focusing on your comic projects?
I'm thinking about eventually writing a teacher memoir when I retire. I have 5 more years before I can retire, unless they drop the retirement age or retirement years requirement again, which they dropped it, I think, twice in the past 12 months. I think they're trying to get rid of us old farts so they can save some money. I'm thinking about writing that. I'm not sure. Because honestly, I've been pretty burned out on teaching for the past 5 years. And when I write, I want to escape from that world. Mm-hmm. And so as of right now, I'm going to get busy on writing the third issue for Snails with Lasers while Aaron is working on the art for issue 2. And I'm also planning on, I think you read my comic called Iconoplastic about the rock band.
Yeah.
One of the main artists for that is a guy named Jake Warrenfelt, and Jake was at Space this year, and I had not been in the same room with Jake for almost a decade, and it was like we had never been apart. And I met his friend Aaron, who was there with him as well, and they started their own comic book company, Aaron Wolf. And I had never met Aaron before in my entire life. And we started talking at the convention, and we hit it off, and we went out to dinner together after the show on Saturday night. And it was like, we had been friends for at least a decade. And Aaron said, you know, I really love Jake's art on Iconoplastic, but I feel like it needs a better cover. And I said, well, I've always wanted, because when I did that comic book, it was with Jake and a guy named Rafer Roberts, who is now writing for Dark Horse and stuff like that. And Rafer said, I only have time to do, I think it was like 9 pages, and I'll do it for free. But I love your writing, and I want to collaborate with you, but I can only do that many pages. Can you write me a story and squeeze it into that many pages? And I said, sure. But I've always wanted to expand that story, because it's about a rock band that rises from rags to riches, and then the music business basically eats them alive, metaphorically, in the story. And I've always wanted to expand it and give the characters more room to breathe and develop. And but I didn't know if Jake would be interested, and Jake was 100% interested. And so we left Space this year with a verbal agreement that we were going to collaborate on doing an extended version of that one. So those are my 2 current projects.
And you know what? As I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, you know, folks in the archives are all the episodes that Stephen has joined me for. And you need to check it out, because we talk about Iconoplastic. We talk about Hocus Focus, Valedictorian USA. And one that I think we should maybe kind of wrap up with our conversation. And that is, of course, the very popular Zombie Fabulous. Just, can you give us a brief little summary of that tale?
Sure. Zombie Fabulous is a graphic novel about two drag queens who are murdered and they come back as zombies, and they are torn between their hunger for human brains and their desire to still look fabulous, because drag queens are freaking amazing and fabulous and fearless.
So I know that the story has kind of wrapped up, but have you thought about doing another edition of Zombie Fabulous?
I briefly toyed with the idea because one of my friends on the comic book circuit, Carlos Rivera, hates the ending. and he wants, he said it felt like a non-ending to him. And I said, well, I felt like the way it came out, it left it open to interpretation. And that's, I liked endings like that. And he hates it. So he wants me to continue the story. And at this point, never say never, but I really don't have any plans to continue that. I have kicked around an idea for a sequel to The Soccer Mom Killer, because people always ask me, okay, is it the soccer mom doing the killing, or is it the soccer moms getting killed? And it's like, well, it's the soccer moms are getting killed, but I've been asked that question so many times, and I'm kicking around the idea of maybe doing a sequel where there is a soccer mom doing the killing, and she's a copycat killer based on the guy that was killing the soccer moms. So that's an idea that I'm kicking around.
All right. Well, as we're getting close to that time, Stephen, let's start wrapping things up. Can you repeat again social media, upcoming appearances if you have any, website, Etsy store, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, my Etsy store, if you just search for Stephen Hines or any of my book titles, you'll find me on there. My next appearance, I'm looking at my calendar right now, is not until July 6th, and that's the Piqua Comic Con in Piqua, Ohio. And it's at the Knights of St. John in Piqua, Ohio. People would like to Google that. And I really don't have anything else until I think the fall. I usually do Gem City Comic Con, but they're reformatting that entire show, and it's invitation only for vendors.
And, because that's in July, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the end of July, and I have not received an invitation, so I'm guessing that's a sign that I am not invited.
Well, you know what? Damn it. Gem City invites Steven. There you go. I'll say it. I don't care.
Yeah, that's discrimination against pasty white old geezers.
Well, Steven, again, thank you very much, man, for sitting down and chatting with me. It's been fun.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Stephen Hines, talking about the graphic novel format of his comic book, The Soccer Mom Killer. And please check out the other episodes that Stephen has appeared on throughout the years here on the PVD cast, because as I kind of mentioned at the beginning and also mentioned during our conversation, that there's a lot of projects that we did not touch base on that certainly you might find very interesting. So please do that. Go over to the archives, check it out. And maybe after you're done listening to some of those past episodes, maybe you have a comment that you'd like to share with me. Well, let me tell you how you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @pvdcast. And I'm even still on Twitter. Just look for @pvdmvp, which is my personal Twitter handle. And there's all the ways that you can get in touch with me if you have questions or concerns about this episode, or any episode for that matter. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know where they can get their hands on this podcast, so to speak. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that. First, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get all the new episodes. But it's also available through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. All you have to do is go to the search bar in that outlet or that app and put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put John Orlando after it, and you should find it. And while we're talking about these important outlets and apps, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And you don't have to make it complicated. You can give as many stars as you think I deserve, and you can leave a small comment. You don't have to write more than a phrase. Great episode. Love it, John. Whatever you want to say. All right. Again, rating and reviewing is so important for especially independent podcasters. So please, if you could do that, I would greatly appreciate it. And by the way, you could also subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But there's a third way that you can catch the week's episode, and that is Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page at PVDcast, where I play the week's episode through a live broadcast format. So there's three easy ways to hear the show. That is, of course, through PVDcast.com, through your favorite outlet or app, and, of course, through the Facebook page Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.